Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Disneyland is closed until further notice, some Disneyland online to hold you over, cast members continue to get paid.
An inside look at the park, a special deal for rescheduling, we talk Space Mountain and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of April 1st, 2020. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out to Freya for becoming a new supporter of the show and also to Michael V for increasing your support. This support helps to make DL Weekly possible. Without the community of support, we would not be able to produce the show and get through this difficult time. The supporter Discord chat has been a great source of Disney magic from our supporters, including themed Disney topic days. If you would like to become a weekly tier yourself and have some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up. We also want to extend a big thank you to all of those who are becoming supporters during this time and who continue their support. Really, guys, it's incredible because we know that everybody's life has been turned sideways, if not upside down, with everything that's going on right now. So it just means the world to us for the support. It's super appreciated. It's just so generous of you. You guys are the best.
Yep, absolutely. And we just hope that we keep providing a great value to you guys and keep putting out stuff to get you guys through it. Well, there is a ton of uncertainty with everything going on right now, but one thing that is a certainty is that concierge can help you plan your next Disney vacation. Even though there is no announced date of reopening, it's never too soon to start talking with the folks over at concierge to get your trip planned. They're kept up to date on the latest news and information on bookings, tickets, closures, and more. And in the unlikely event that something like this ever happens again, rest assured that the team over at Concierge will be there to help in any way possible. Why wait? Talk to the Disney fans over at Concierge to get started. Head on over to concierge.com. Don't forget to mention that DL Weekly sent you.
Now let's get to the news.
Well, as of Friday, March 27th, the Disneyland Resort will be closed until further notice. The parks will continue to be closed to guests beyond the April 1st date originally announced at the beginning of March. As COVID-19 continues to grow and be a problem around the world, the parks will continue to be closed until it is safe. An indication of when Disneyland will reopen will probably be the reopening of the Asian parks that closed before the domestic parks as early as February.
So, yeah, we kind of, this was inevitable. We knew that this would happen. A lot of people were kind of dissing Disney, asking why it took them so long to kind of make this announcement. I'm not going to pretend to know what all went behind this announcement, but I'm sure it's a difficult decision, right? Because they have to, there's a lot of things that they have to factor in. Of course, the health and safety of the cast members, as well as all of the guests, is, I'm sure, the number one priority. But then there's also things to consider that, you know, can we afford to continue paying the cast members? How long? You know, I'm sure there's just a zillion different things that went into making this decision. So that's why I'm sure they knew that this was going to be happening, but they just couldn't publicly announce it until they had all their ducks in a row, including Donald and Daisy.
And Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Can't forget them.
And Scrooge McDuck. Lots of ducks.
The other thing, too, we don't talk about this later in the show, but some of you in the chat already know this and are aware, but Tag and I did receive word from D23 that our studio tour of the Walt Disney Studios has also been canceled. So they are refunding that. They're going to reannounce dates at a later time. The nice thing is, though, even though we're not able to go this month, later this month, because we were scheduled to go for April 27th. Fingers crossed, maybe when they do announce the new dates or the rescheduled dates, anyone that did have tickets to any of the canceled tours for the Walt Disney Studio tours will be given priority to book when they announce what the new dates are. So we're crossing our fingers. We, you guys already know that we have the trip planned for August because we're going to go head out for Star Wars night. So maybe the stars will align in our favor again and it'll just so happen to work, but we'll see.
Cross your fingers and toes like you were for not having the trip itself canceled.
The one thing that's crazy to me, though, you guys, so we got that email a couple days ago. I literally, before we started recording, I checked my app. Disney has not canceled or gotten rid of our Villains Night tickets yet. So I'm very surprised that those have not gone yet away. So that is my last little like sliver of hope. But, you know, I am being realistic. I'm a very positive thinker on these things, and I really hope that everything will, you know, turn out, but let's be realistic. I'm sure it won't. But again, that's another question that I have too, because, you know, it'd be easier to reschedule something like the Walt Disney Studio tour.
Yeah.
However, what do you do about Villains Night? Do you cancel it altogether? Do you try and figure out a different day for it to happen? You know,
there's a lot of questions.
A lot of questions there, and I do not envy the people that have to try and make those decisions.
I'm going to make a prediction right now.
Okay.
That I believe that the parks, and I have reasoning for this later in the show as well, but just off of, and I think I said this in the last episode as well, and we've had a couple streams as well, and I think that June, we're looking at like I think that the target date, my guess would be internally, also based off of like the state of California and their social distancing measures. Once they're able to get cast members back in to get things ready to get the park open, I think we're looking at the beginning of June as being the opening date for the parks. Again, you know, over in the Asian parks, you know, coronavirus is seeming to get a little more under control over there than it is here right now. Obviously, they had it a couple months before we did. So those parks haven't opened yet either. So my thought would be, like we already said, that those parks, once we see the Asian parks opening, we know, depending on how things are going here, kind of what it'll look like. Mm-hmm. I did see some stuff online that people were concerned that when the parks do open, a lot of things that people take for granted and love about the parks won't be there. I've seen rumors that fireworks, parades, live entertainment, all of that will not be on the roster when the park opens. So you'll have attractions, and you'll have shops, and you'll have restaurants. That's kind of the limit of things. So it sounds like, you know, things like World of Color, things like, you know, the nightly fireworks, Fantasmic, those things might take a little while longer to come online just because of the fact that they've been, I mean, if you look at it from a business standpoint and you look at it from the fact that they're not making any money really anywhere right now, they have to kind of get to a good spot again before they can probably justify those costs again.
You know, that's something that I hadn't even thought of, but yeah, I'm sure it's going to be a slightly different experience when they do reopen, just because they are, you know, they're really taking a hit with all of this financially. We're going to talk about some things later on in the episode of things that they're trying to do to kind of alleviate that a little bit, or at least to kind of help, you know.
Sure.
But it's just tough, because last week when Vern and I were reporting, they had just announced that there was a hotel deal starting, I believe it was like mid to late April was when that hotel deal was good for. So we keep getting these little hints and it keeps making us hopeful. But I think you're right. The best thing to kind of try and figure out when our parks here, you know, Disneyland and Disney World, when they're going to reopen is just, yet, like you said, to model after what the Asian parks are going to end up doing. It is crazy because those parks still aren't open. There still is not a single Disney park in the world open right now, which... It's just crazy.
Yeah. And obviously, looking at when those parks open as well, that'll give us an indication of what our parks experiences will look like. So if they don't have fireworks and they don't have parades and they don't have entertainment, that's probably the same kind of model that's going to happen here. And again, like I said, I think that, you know, we'll probably be 2 or 3 weeks at the earliest behind the Asian parks opening. So we'll get to see a good glimpse of how things, you know, how they kind of ramp back up to operations.
Well, a little bit of positive news. Cast members are scheduled to still be paid through April 18th. But with the stimulus package passed by the government, Disney may look to lay off cast members after this time to be able to take advantage of unemployment benefits that the government is now offering amidst this crisis.
Yeah, so basically what I've seen is, you know, from a again, a business standpoint, we do have to remember, as much as we love Disney, they are a business and they do have to look out for, you know, financial obligations of their shareholders and all that good stuff. That, you know, if Disney continues to pay these employees, then the unemployment benefits don't like kick in. And some of those things are subsidized now by the government as part of the big $2 trillion package that was passed. So, you know, from a business standpoint, should Disney continue to pay these and just continue to drain their bank accounts to nothing and maybe get to a point where they're in real trouble? Or do they lay off the cast members? And my thought process would be that if they do lay off cast members, when they're in the position to be able to open the parks again, I feel like they would reach out to those cast members that they laid off to try to rehire those same people.
Well, I'm sure it's like a lot of businesses now. You know, personally, I know this because Vern's going through this. He has not been working for 2 weeks now. And it's just kind of, you're being laid off is not like you're being fired. So yeah. It's just, you know, we're not able to pay you at this time kind of a thing. So it's not that they necessarily don't have jobs to go back to, because it's not like they are no longer employed with Disney. They're just not getting paid. So I think I'm hoping, and I don't have any fear for the cast members. I don't think that I think their jobs are safe.
I will say a month of the park being closed and paying cast members who are not working for them is quite generous.
Oh, that's incredible. Because, I mean, that's tens of thousands of people that they're still paying. That's just, I can't even imagine what that looks like to them financially, how much money that's costing them to do that. That's really, really incredible.
Yeah. Well, with Disneyland closed, what's happening on the inside? Well, security is still on site, ensuring that the property is secure from the public. A skeleton crew of custodial, fire, horticulture, and more are also on site to maintain the park minimally during the closure. Of course, like with anything, you can't leave just a park. You can't just abandon it, because that's going to be way more costly in the long run if you start letting things go. One of the things that MiceChat talked about in their article that we got this information from was, you know, they're checking, you know, they have perishable or non-perishable goods, canned goods and stuff like that. They're checking to make sure that, you know, plumbing hasn't exploded or anything like that. Of course, looking around the park, you know, they still have plants and stuff that they have to take care of. Because, I mean, can you imagine if, let's say this goes on for 1-2 months and nobody's in the park? Like, that's a lot that they'd have to, like, work back against just to get things open.
Well, just, I'm sure there's all sorts of just normal maintenance things that, because the stuff, you know, a lot of this stuff, the paint always looks pristine on everything, right? So, and it's out in the sun and out in the elements all day, every day. So, you know, there's just kind of the stuff to make sure that everything is looking tip top. I almost wonder with some of the attractions if they're not going to just every once in a while start them up, make sure everything's going, make sure everything's greased up. I don't know.
I feel like you have to, because anything that you leave sit for too long. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I didn't drive my car for 2 or 3 days and I got in and like my brakes sounded funny. I'm like, oh, I guess this is what it sounds like when my car doesn't move for a while. So, you know, with any of that type of stuff, it's meant to be used frequently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see things. I mean, you even see stuff over like in Italy with the canals and stuff without people using it, you know, in a good way there, you know, like things are settling, the water's clearer, animals are coming into cities now because there's not as many people out, you know, so you got to think. You know, at Disneyland, if people didn't maintain things, it can get kind of crazy quick. Like, I think shockingly so. I don't think we realize how quickly things could de-escalate into chaos without any type of human interaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, just think of, you know, the wildlife. You've got the ducks. You've got the cats.
Oh, yeah.
You've got, I've seen, like, geese type things.
I'm sure
there,
there's
too.
Mice.
You know, and so, well, I'm just thinking, just thinking about
poop.
The ones that we see. Yeah. Yeah, someone's got to clean up after these animals. You know, that doesn't go away. So if you just left that, if you left that alone for who knows how long, that could be a disaster.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, that I do need to mention is somebody does need to check up on those poor Disneyland cats, because I don't know about you, but I've seen the pictures of them taking a spin on Space Mountain.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
So someone's got to make sure you check up on them and make sure those guys are doing okay and that they're not going around Space Mountain or Splash Mountain too many times. I joke because I believe it was actually Disney that shared those photos.
Oh,
they,
I think so, yeah.
They made it look like some of the cats of Disneyland were riding in one of the ride vehicles. It was kind of like their attraction photo. Same thing with the ducks. They were riding the attractions too. So I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I will be interested to see, once they decide that they're going to open the park, how long of a delay it's going to be to get everything in shape for everything.
That's true. Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see.
Well, a couple of places have taken aerial photos and video of Disneyland this week. The Sun posted some stills from above Disneyland, while ABC posted video from their helicopter ride over the park to cover the closure. The one thing, you know, it's like comforting to see that it's still there, but it's also very sad to see that there's that it's there but empty. It just seems a little bit less happy. It still looks beautiful, mm-hmm. but it's just really weird to kind of see the park with nobody in it. Now, if only the attractions were going and you could still get on them, that would be like the perfect place to be right now. But obviously.
I've never seen Disneyland this empty. So looking at these pictures and videos, it is just crazy to me. Like, the park is still there, obviously, but like, they have to have maintenance and stuff, because like, there's not even any leaves on the ground.
It's spotless.
All of the flowers and everything look great. Like, it's just crazy to me. One thing I did want to find out, I wanted to fact check MySage, because they talked about part of the hub being torn up, and sure enough, in one of these videos, there is a section coming from Matterhorn Way that's torn up and going into Frontierland that's torn up. So definitely there's some stuff happening. So I just, I agree with you. It's very strange and surreal to see in the middle of the day, because these are like middle of the day shots, nobody anywhere. There's like one or two maintenance vehicles you can see in some of these shots. You don't see people. You just see like the vehicles parked. It's very eerie.
Yeah. So part of this too is that, I believe it was MySage. I could be wrong. But it has been reported and it has become public that as much as we Disney nerds were hoping that this time, you know, this downtime maybe was going to give them some time to be able to do some refurbs. And they had even talked about how they were going to use this downtime to get some extra refurbs done. I think they put a couple of extra attractions on the list of things for refurbishments since they had the time. But they are not... They have not done anything with refurbishments. So all of the refurbishments that had been started, that they were planning to start, all of that work has halted. It's just this kind of, like Tag said, just kind of a skeleton crew with very, you know, just kind of minimal maintenance-y things going on right now.
Yeah, I want to look at this video here real quick because I want to see if they still have... It looks like they've taken down... the scrims on the scaffolding around Snow White, which makes sense because they have been putting them up and down because of wind and stuff.
Of the wind. Mm-hmm.
So with nobody there, they can just roll them down and not have to worry
about
it.
Probably the same thing with the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
The other cool thing, too, if you guys have a chance, of course, we're going to have this video linked in our show notes. But, you know, being the big Disney nerds that we are, it is really cool to see Disneyland from above. Like, the shot that Tag was just looking at was actually Main Street from above. So it was really interesting to see just how deep those buildings actually go and, you know, all the air conditioning units that are on top and all sorts of that
lighting rigs,
weird stuff that you don't, you know, don't really, that you don't see, that, you know, obviously has to be there. The other cool thing, I wish this was like footage from like during Pixar Fest when they had the inflatables that were living up on top of Main Street. That would have been cool to see an aerial view of those guys hanging out up there during the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to see videos like this because it gives me a little glimpse into the fact that it's still there.
It's still beautiful.
Well, for guests that purchase tickets for the Food and Wine Festival, Disneyland will be refunding tickets to you in the next 30 days. Again, this is for the special event tickets, not just for any old ticket. There is no need to contact them. It will be refunded to the payment method used, like I said, in the next 30 days.
So this will be interesting because we reported last week that there had been permits filed that looked like they were going to try and extend the Food and Wine Festival. So I'm curious if they are just extending like the festival and the festival, like the booths, that the kind of day-to-day festival activities. And maybe if this is kind of a hint that if the festival is extended, they won't be doing the special ticketed events, or if they do the special ticketed events, maybe it's not lining up with the people that we're going to be presenting or cooking or whatever. So maybe, will it be different events?
I believe it was Mouse Planet that posted that they wanted to do the correction because they, and multiple places reported this and so did we, that actually the permit, they misread the permit. It wasn't for all the booths. It was for a specific piece of festival equipment that they were applying to keep extended for longer. So that doesn't mean that they won't extend the Food and Wine Fest, but that permit wasn't for what we thought it was for.
Gotcha. Well, guests who were booked for a trip to the Disneyland Resort and staying on one of the property hotels, a special offer is available. For rescheduled arrivals between June 1st and December 31st, 2020, on Sundays through Thursdays, guests can receive 10% off a premium room at the Paradise Pier Hotel or 15% off a standard room at the Disneyland or Grand Californian Hotels, or 20% off a premium room at the Disneyland or Grand Californian Hotels. And again, we just want to clarify that this offer is valid for guests who booked a Walt Disney Travel Company vacation package to stay at a Disneyland Resort hotel during the dates that the Disneyland Resort theme parks are closed. So I guess kind of good news, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we're all bummed that our Disneyland vacations are having to get postponed and shifted around. Of course, we all understand, and it's a very good reason why we are not being allowed to go there. But I think it is really nice that they're extending this offer to kind of, I guess, soften the blow a little bit, you know, kind of. And the other thing, too, I'm sure Disney's probably worried about this. We saw it with 9/11 is, you know, are we going to have
empty rooms?
Yeah, are we going to have a time after this pandemic is gone or over with? Are we going to have, you know, how long is it before people are going to feel comfortable traveling again? Or how long before people are going to be able to afford to travel again? So I'm sure Disney is a little worried that when they do reopen, if the people will come or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. One thing I thought with this, and this is where I'm going to be a little critical of Disney, 10 or 15% off, or even 20 on a premium room at Disneyland or Grand Californian, doesn't seem like very much to me.
See, devil's advocate, they didn't have to do anything.
I agree. I mean, you and I, in fact, this is funny. You and I can talk about previous work experience. So we both used to work at a major retailer who will remain nameless, just because. And we had people that we worked with, and we would get a bonus every quarter, depending on how good the store did on various things. And do you remember people that would complain, oh, we only got like $60 this time?
Yeah.
And I came from another retailer who didn't do this at all. And I would tell these people, I'd say, you realize that it's a bonus, that they do not have to give it to you. Mm-hmm. Well, last time we got one, it was $400. I'm like, well, it's a bonus. Well, I was counting on that. Well, you shouldn't count on a bonus. Anyway, but it's similar. It's like they didn't have to do anything. Yeah. I guess we should all just be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one will brighten your day if you click on the link and go watch this video if you haven't already. The Dapper Dans gave a performance to all the Disney fans online this past week. The Dans each performed at their homes on a video conference and compiled the clips into a video. When You Wish Upon a Star was the chosen song, but guests can vote on the next song on the link in our show notes. Options include Grim Grinning Ghosts.
Vote for that one.
When I See an Elephant Fly, or a Disney Melody.
This was like perfect. This was so, so perfect. And the thing that I found so fun about it was, first of all, they sounded amazing.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really fun because I recognized several Dans that we got to see perform during our August trip last year when we were there for D23. So that was really cool. Just beautiful, right? Super simple. They're songs that they already know and they already have perfected. But what a great way for them to bring a lot of Disney joy. I'm sure they also brought a lot of tears to many people because it was just beautiful.
I will say that I think they picked the perfect guy to like intro it because he's got the most amazing mustache that just screams Dapper Dans to me.
I also very much enjoyed one of the Dans was kind of wearing one of the, I don't know what you call it, I call it like the hat, the Dapper Dans hat, whatever, like the flat brimmed kind of, not really straw hat. I don't know what you call it. I'm sure there's a specific name for it.
I'm sure there is a specific name.
But I mean, that guy looks like he's in costume. He's got his little red bow tie on. Looks like he's got a red.
His name is Jim.
Jim. Way to go, Jim. He was even in costume.
From Yorba Linda. So this must be one of the Disneyland Dans.
Well, with the park being closed and the new Magic Happens parade not running, Disney has posted online a video of the parade to try and hold over fans who are having withdrawal from the happiest place on earth and to try and appease fans like Tag and I that haven't actually gotten to see it in person yet. So thank you, Disney. It is really just incredible the amount of Disney magic that they are still trying to get out to us. It's I feel like every day, multiple times a day, I see something else that somebody shares or posts, like, oh, have you seen this? Or, oh, did you see that? You know, there's just so much stuff. It's so, so cool. And I feel like Disney Plus, it seems like they've done a couple of newer things on Disney Plus that I had not heard about until poof, there it was. So it could be that I was living under a rock and didn't hear about it. But I'm trying to think, what was the new thing? It's not the Imagineering story, and it's
Inside
not
Disney.
Yes. I was going to say, and it's not One Day at Disney Shorts. It's very similar, but yes.
Yeah, Inside Disney is pretty good, but they mm-hmm. cover like everything, kind of like the One Day at Disney does.
But still, it's good. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Now, one thing I will say is this video puts you right in the center of Main Street,
in the middle of the parade.
And I wouldn't say, I think Disney was smart. This gets you like the idea of the parade, but it's not like a fan video of the parade. It's not like you're still going to get more out of it seeing it.
Oh, sure.
Because this is only an 8-minute video, but you get a nice overhead view at some points. Obviously, they have great cinematographers that are good at catching all these angles and doing these boom shots and everything. So it is a definitely unique way to see the parade that you won't see anywhere else. Well, to go along with what we talked about earlier about the cast members working, the executive management at the Walt Disney Company have all announced that they were taking pay cuts, with Bob Iger not taking a salary at all until this is over, to help stem the flood of cash being spent with limited revenue. Bob Chapek is taking a 50% cut, and other management is cutting amounts starting at 20%. It may seem like a lot, but I think over all of their different management levels and stuff, I think it's a great, it's a decent amount of money.
Well, just Bob Iger. So it has been, we don't know obviously for certain, but it has been reported that Bob Iger's salary is actually like $3 million. So that's a little bit of pocket change that's going back into the Disney coffers. So, and I'm sure that that's probably already been absorbed by what they've been paying out for cast members and that sort of thing, which again, is just amazing. And again, these acts of selflessness during this time are just, I just find them really incredible, because again, They don't have to do this. You know, they're choosing to do this and to give back. Same thing, even as simple as being an annual pass holder and the fact that they've promised that they're going to give us days back on our passes. For again, that's something they don't have to do. When you sign on the little dotted line to become an annual pass holder, you know, they're not promising, hey, if we're closed, you guys get your days back.
No.
They just, you know, if something happens, it happens. And we move on. But so I just think it's incredible that they're doing all these different things.
I would like to say, in general, I've been very surprised by companies and how they've handled a lot of these things, because there are a lot of companies that are doing a lot of really good things for their employees that I did not expect.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And Disney, you know, was one of the first companies that we were aware of that were, you know, they were continuing to pay their cast members, et cetera, et cetera. So the fact that executive management, which has been a huge issue in our country, you know, they've said that, you know, like, well, everybody always lays off the, you know, frontline workers, but the bonuses and stuff still go to the big wigs. So I'm interested to see how in the next 12 to 18 months, how this is all going to turn out, and what other compensation and stuff they're going to kind of forego to keep everything where it needs to be.
Well, even though the parks aren't open, Disney is still trying to provide fans with new experiences. A virtual tour of Walt Disney Imagineering series is coming to the Disney Parks YouTube channel. The first episode has been posted that offers mostly just an introduction to the series. The rest of the series should cover the other aspects of Imagineering. Yes, it's like the second little sneak peek. It's not going to be as in-depth, I'm sure, as the Imagineering story, but it's still something.
One thing that I've always liked about old Disney was when Walt was around, like, he had specials where he'd show what was going on and what they were coming up with next. And I don't know what it is, but since Disney Plus came out, I feel like they've done a really good job trying to, you know, open the curtain a little bit, lift the curtain, try to show kind of what's behind the curtain. And I love it. And I think that they are realizing that there is, you know, I wouldn't say a mass audience for this, but there are definitely some diehards like ourselves and people who listen to this podcast, I'm sure, who really want this stuff. And so the fact that they're producing it and putting it out there, I think is just amazing.
Well, the thing that's brilliant about it, though, is they, you know, right, the only thing that they have cost-wise, because again, we're going to think of Disney as a business, the only thing they have cost-wise is actually, you know, filming it, editing it, producing it. They don't have, they're not paying to distribute it because it's on their own service. So it's the perfect time.
Well, this one is YouTube, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, and there's that too. It's the perfect time for them to do this stuff because it's not like they have to, I don't know, put it to video or, you know, there's not as many costs involved because they have Disney Plus. So I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think Disney Plus, I think, is a better platform for them to do this kind of stuff versus YouTube. I'm grateful that they're putting stuff on YouTube right now, 100%, because that's free for everybody.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't like the Imagineering story. I can't imagine having that only available on YouTube and trying to watch that from YouTube.
Oh, sure.
Versus how wonderful it was to watch it on Disney Plus.
Have you seen recently that they're talking about trying to put like more? Because right now, most of the things on Disney Plus are kids focused.
Yeah.
But they've talked about trying to put some more of the more. I say this, I know it's going to sound worse than it is, but that they're going to put some more like adult entertainment on there, some movies and stuff that are more geared towards adults rather than just exclusively kids. I'm trying to think of an example.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love everything that's on Disney Plus.
Well, yes, we know that.
Well, I would say like The Mandalorian would be something that was probably geared more towards adults. It was family friendly, though. I mean, it's been a little while since I watched the series, but I don't remember there being any swearing or any nudity or anything, you know, anything not suitable for children and families.
Yeah, but I just see that they were going to add some stuff
like,
that was...
Like the Black Widow series?
Maybe. I'm trying... I can't think off the top of my head what it was, but it was just some movies that Disney has put out, but they're more...
Oh, okay. Stuff that's already in the collection.
Yeah. They're not making new stuff. I'm just saying they wanted to add stuff like, you know, like they added The Simpsons, which is a little more... not as child-friendly as Disney normally is, let's say.
Sure.
I don't necessarily think that The Simpsons is that bad. I mean, it was on network television or whatever. But definitely when you look at the Disney image, Simpsons was a little more rough than they usually go. But I think along those lines. Well, I'm really excited. I'm actually... So you got excited about the mini collection ears.
Yeah, I'm over that now.
I'm excited about this one. On April 4th, a new multi-month merchandise experience is coming to Shop Disney. The Disney Castle Collection will cover 10 releases and animated features: Cinderella, Frozen, Mulan, Snow White, Tangled, Sleeping Beauty, Aladdin, The Little Mermaid, Brave, and Beauty and the Beast round out the collection. The Cinderella release will include an ornament, journal, pin, and limited release puzzle by Ravensburger. A specially designed case will also be available to display the complete set. That I'm excited for. That alone makes me want to get all of these pins.
100%. I'm there for you. The other thing that I'm very excited about, and I want to, I mean, there's no way to do this, but I really want to see what the figurines look like. And so they're saying that there's going to be a high-end figurine with each series. And then there's also, with the first release of Cinderella, they also have an ornament that looks probably like it's a miniature version of the figurine. Probably does not have as many details, of course, as the high-end one does. But the pictures of them look really, really cool. So I would just, I don't know, I really want to see them in person and see just how detailed and how amazing they are.
Now, my brother is a huge puzzle builder.
Yeah.
So when I saw that this was Ravensburger, I remember from conversation with him that Ravensburger is a great company for puzzles. So I'm excited about that. But really, really for me, the pins. The pins are my excitement.
The pins?
And this display case for the pins, you can already see from the silhouettes what these are going to look like. So before I read what things were, you could see Agrabah.
Yep.
You can see... the city from Mulan. You could see, obviously, the Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. Like, they're so... you could see Arendelle. Mm-hmm. So you could see from some of these, like, right off the bat, what they're going to look like, just from the silhouette. What is this one?
Oh, yeah, probably Brave. I'm trying to, like, look at these. I can't, like, purposely be like, oh, that's Sleeping... Like, I'm thinking our Sleeping Beauty castle.
Yeah.
None of them look like them. Like, which one's Sleeping... But it looks... I'm assuming...
Well, at first, the one in the top right corner, I was like, is that Tower of Terror?
I wonder if that's Tangled?
So the Tangled castle...
Tangled is on the bottom.
Has
it's got, like
the...
a bulby thing. Yeah, it's on the bottom. It's next to the Little Mermaid's castle in Arendelle.
I feel like I need to start looking up all of these. The Snow White castle, maybe?
I don't remember what these look like.
I am terrible because I feel like we should know this better, but
so
we don't.
So we do, just so you guys know, the castles are the castles from the animated films. So yeah. Like the Sleeping Beauty castle and Cinderella's castle are not the park castles. So they will look a little. So if you were thinking, oh, I'm so excited to have, you know, a figurine of the Disneyland, you know, the Disneyland Sleeping Beauty castle. It is not, it's not the same. It's not exactly the same. It's similar, but not exactly the same. But anyways, I'm very crazy excited about this set. I am very, I'm with you, Tag. I'm very, the most exciting thing to me about this is the pin set. Mm-hmm. The pins, this is interesting. All of the photos that we have seen, I don't know what the front of the pin looks like, but they're kind of, I don't know, they've got a hinge. And so they open up and there's like all sorts of artwork and it looks like different rooms. And this one's got like the staircase and all sorts of different pieces and like pictures of inside the castle, kind of like.
I assume that the front looks very similar to what the figurine looks like.
That's my assumption too. But I don't know. I think they just look very beautiful. And I'm with you. I really, really like the case. My fingers and toes and, you know, everything is crossed that how do I want to say this nicely? That the way of getting this merchandise is going to be smoother than the Minnie the Main Attraction merch. That's 100% what turned me off to. I was very excited. You're right. I was very excited for the Minnie the Main Attraction merch. And the fact that there was a new set of ears every month, I wanted to collect all 12. Didn't matter.
Are you going
to
be awake at 7 a.m. Pacific on the 4th?
That's 9 a.m.
Here?
Yeah. So that's fine. But I was very excited about all that stuff. But what just kind of just did it for me is just the fact of how crazy and how much of a nightmare it was to actually be able to get that merch.
Did you get any of them?
No. Oh. I tried to get the first pair. I tried to get the Space Mountain set and just gave up after that because it was just kind of, as you guys know, it was just a mess and just kind of a fiasco. I do think probably more people were able to get their merch this time around since it was online sales only. But it was a big pain, as we had heard from Alex, to get through all of the checkout process because it was just, the system was just so bogged down.
Well, you can get the pin set for $65 on eBay.
Disgusting. No, thank you. Wrong. That's just so wrong. It makes me sad. Well, now it's time to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer Vern was going to try and stump us with some Disney trivia. He's going to ask us 4 questions, maybe even a bonus. We're going to try and answer them, and we're going to get the correct answers after our discussion topic. So what do you have for us this week, Vern?
Got a few that I found just perusing some of the books that we have around the house here. Ooh. So hopefully I didn't go too hard on you, but just hard enough to make you think. So we'll start off with my most favoritest ride ever. The gold decorations on the exterior of A Small World are not paint. What is it?
Gold leaf, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think it's gold leaf.
Well, y'all are quick to answer that one. On to question 2. According to the International Museum of Carousel Art, it is common on a carousel that about 1/3 of the animals are stationary. How many of the animals on King Arthur's carousel move?
All of them.
All of them.
For a bonus, how many of the animals are horses?
All of them.
Well, aren't y'all trying to be all too quick tonight?
And what color are they?
All of them.
All of them are colored?
I think they're all white.
Could be.
So you're going to add in a bonus question? How many are white?
Bonus question.
You can't add your own one.
I will allow an add-in of a second bonus. How many are white?
All of them.
All of them.
Okay. So 2 bonus questions on the carousel.
Double bonus.
All right. At its fastest, Space Mountain never achieves a speed of more than blank miles per hour.
Isn't it like 28 miles an hour?
I was going to say 25. It might be 28. It's low. It feels much, much faster.
Because it's in the dark.
Mm-hmm, because it's in the dark. And funny that you should ask that question, because that is our discussion topic for the week. This is my problem, is I read a couple of numbers and then I... had some disputes from people on said numbers. So I'm a little nervous about that one. So 28 was one of the numbers I did read. So I think I'm going to go with you, Tig. We'll go 28.
Yeah, because
I remember somebody saying they were a cast member and 28 was too fast. That's why I decided to back off and go 25.
What does a cast member know?
You better edit that out.
They're not out there with the little speedometer. You know, they're not
the clock out there clocking it.
Yeah, they're not radar enforcing.
Well, I'm sure they have to know. You know, they probably do have to know because if one's going too fast.
I also think that it depends on what it's loaded with because if you do a drop and you have a bunch of heavier people, it's probably going to go faster.
Yeah.
So that's your official answer? 28. Is 28. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're in agreement tonight. This is kind of scary.
It is. There's usually much more arguing. You're completely throwing off my rhythm here.
That's either a good or a bad thing.
Arguing. I wouldn't say it's arguing. I would say it's thinking.
You know what it reminds me of? You remind me of Padme from Star Wars. I call this aggressive negotiation.
It's diplomacy. All right. And for your official bonus question of the night, on Star Tours, which of the following is not a possible destination on your Star Tour? Tatooine, Kashyyyk, Hoth, or Endor?
Hoth?
I'm going to say Kashyyyk.
No, I know Kashyyyk's there because at one point a Wookiee hits your windshield.
Oh, yes. But is it an ending?
It doesn't matter. It's a destination.
Oh, I thought it wasn't. Okay.
It's just saying one of the places you could go. Okay. I don't think there's a Hoth.
I don't know if there's Tatooine.
Could also be Tatooine.
I'm going to go with Tatooine.
I'm going to go with Hoth. We disagree. Our agreement is dead.
Did Tag and Teresa answer correctly? How about you listening at home? Do you think you answered correctly? Keep listening after today's discussion topic to find out.
Well, this week for our discussion topic, we decided to do a little bit of a deeper look at one of our favorite attractions, and I'm sure it's one of your favorite attractions too, Space Mountain. I couldn't believe it because we've been kind of going through slowly but surely. We're going to be doing probably a few more now that there's not as much news to report on, but we're kind of like trying to make our way through the park, and we were trying to hit up all the e-ticket attractions first. I couldn't believe that we hadn't talked about Space Mountain yet.
Crazy. I know producer James, if he was here, would definitely love to talk about Space Mountain because it is like his favorite attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the woeful beginnings of Space Mountain.
So Space Mountain, you know, let's talk about prior to it opening. But just to throw that out there, Space Mountain did open in Disneyland May 27th of 1977. And then it reopened July of 2005. And we'll get to that. We'll explain what that was about. But basically, it's really interesting to me because the whole reason that we even have Space Mountain today is because of the Matterhorn bobsleds, which you think of the two and you don't really understand what one would have to do with the other.
Well, they're both roller coaster-y.
Yeah, they're both roller coasters, but one's like space themed and really like in the dark and I don't know. They're very different. But
you mean Space Mountain doesn't have an abominable spaceman?
I mean, if you look really hard and like close your left eye while winking with your right eye and touching your nose, then yes, you can see him. But no. So anyways, but because of the success of the Matterhorn bobsleds, which again opened in 1959, that actually convinced Walt that thrill rides did have a place in Disneyland prior to the Matterhorn. It was all kind of like, it was more like little kid rides, I guess would be a good way of explaining it. You know, the dark rides, you had the carousel, you know, the kind of the teacups, that sort of thing.
Classics.
Yes, a lot of the classics and just not thrill rides, things that did not require height requirements.
Sure.
But Walt actually first approached the designer, who was John Hench, with the idea for this indoor dark roller coaster. And then it kind of evolved over the next few years. And then the name Space Mountain was actually first used in June of 1966 for the concept. It was kind of interesting because they were, again, we know this, but Disney was ahead of their time at this point. They actually kind of put this on the back burner for a little while because of technological limitations and just also space limitations available at the Disneyland park. After Walt's death in December of 1966, the company kind of shifted its focus more to Disney World, which actually led them to completely shelve the Space Mountain project for Disneyland. The other thing that kind of backburnered the Space Mountain for Disneyland was focus shift. Obviously, this was prior to Walt's passing, but the focus had shifted to the World's Fair and
right.
getting stuff done and time and resources and all, you know, time, talent, resources, all that was focused on the World's Fair at that time, too. So it reminds me, Space Mountain's actually kind of similar to the Haunted Mansion in the fact that they had this really great idea. And they had been working on it for a while, but other things kept coming up. They couldn't quite figure out how they wanted to do it or how they could do it. And so they just kind of kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off.
Once Disney World did open in 1971, unexpectedly, teenagers seemed to like Disney World better than, I guess, Disneyland, which seems weird because it seems like it'd be a lot harder to get to. Maybe it's a road trip fun or something like that. But anyway, Disney needed to add thrill rides there as well. So they determined that the Magic Kingdom's Fantasyland, like Teresa was saying, they liked the idea of the Matterhorn. Mm-hmm. But the Fantasyland in the Magic Kingdom was not big enough. They didn't have a spot to put a Matterhorn Mountain, which is kind of cool because I like the fact that Disneyland has the only Matterhorn.
Right.
But it didn't have enough space to replicate it. But there was quite a bit of space in Tomorrowland. This, along with, like Teresa said, with technology had finally caught up to the point where they could do something like this. They revived the Space Mountain project. So the original one opened in the Magic Kingdom in 1975, and was very successful, which led Disney to basically go back to the idea of building a Space Mountain at Disneyland. And so, again, trying to, you know, they had to figure out where space and stuff was going to work out. It ended up being built on the space where they had the Tomorrowland, the old Tomorrowland Theater, and they had, like, where the Flying Saucers kind of area kind of was. So, back in the day, it's kind of that section of the park where they ended up building it. Because of the space limitations in Disneyland, of course, Disneyland's version only got the single track as opposed to two mm-hmm. tracks. I will say it is kind of interesting in Disney World, the two tracks. It does make it seem like a kind of a almost a different attraction.
Yeah.
In fact, I would say of the three Space Mountains that I've ridden in the world, I rode the one in Paris, I rode the one in Disney World, and I rode the one in Disneyland. They all are the same attraction, but they all feel different in different ways. Kind of like we talked about previously with Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, just the experience, it's the same attraction. So, like, your mm-hmm. mind is like, oh, Big Thunder. But then when you ride the different versions, it's like, it's similar, it's not but not the same.
Yeah, not quite the same. The other thing that I wanted to kind of touch on, too, was just the difference of the actual ride housing.
Experience?
No, oh, the housing. So, like, the actual mountain.
Sure.
I guess would be a good way of saying it. So Florida's Space Mountain is actually over 180 feet high and 300 feet in diameter, as opposed to Disneyland Space Mountain, which is smaller. It's actually only 118 feet tall and 200 feet in diameter. So even if they really, really wanted to try and make it, and think about, this is what I'm trying to think about in my head, right? Is think about the space that Space Mountain is in right now. There's no way that you could add
100 feet.
You could go up, sure, but
no. But I'm saying width.
Yeah, 100 extra feet in diameter. I mean, mm-hmm. that's crazy. So again, that explains why Walt Disney World has two tracks versus our one track, and why it's not the same, because it wasn't the same footprint that they were able to put it in, so they had to make modifications.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad they did. Like I said, it's nice to have variations of one thing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
They also got a patent. They gave the tubular steel track design for Space Mountain from Imagineering. So they got a patent for that particular design of stuff, which is pretty cool. Anytime that they do some type of innovation and they can get a patent or something on that shows that it's different from anything else that anybody else has done. So that's pretty cool.
Disneyland's Space Mountain was designed by Bill Watkins, who was, of course, an Imagineer for the Walt Disney Company.
So I didn't really know anything about the opening of Space Mountain, except for, I believe, it wasn't even the opening of Space Mountain that had, like, the guy with the rocket pack, right? That was, like, the new Tomorrowland.
Yeah, that
or
was
something.
Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm.
But six of the original seven Mercury astronauts attended Space Mountain's opening. Those astronauts were Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, Senator John Glenn, Wally Schirra, Alan Shepard and Deke Slayton. And Deke Slayton actually has connection to our area of the world.
Yes, he does.
Because they have the Deke Slayton Astronaut Museum or Air and Space Museum or something in, is that Sparta?
Sparta, Wisconsin. Yeah, I believe he is from the area, so they have the museum there for him.
That's only like 20 minutes from us. That's pretty dang cool. So the only one who did not make it, unfortunately, was Gus Grissom, and he had passed away along with two other astronauts during a launch pad fire a few years earlier. So, but everybody else was able to make it, and man, they had a ton of guests over 3 days. They had a Memorial Day attendance record set with the opening of Space Mountain. That's so cool.
With 185,500 guests over that 3 day period. Crazy.
That is crazy.
The other thing, too, to note was that it wasn't just Space Mountain that opened at this time, but there was actually kind of a complex that opened. So it, of course, included the roller coaster, but it also had a 1,100-seat space stage, a 670-seat Space Place restaurant, and the Starcade video arcade.
Oh, the Starcade.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Mm-hmm. So is the space stage what Captain EO was in, and the
space place
restaurant is now Pizza Planet?
So I think that the space place, or I'm sorry, I think that the, yeah, space so the space stage was actually an outdoor stage, and then they enclosed it to become like Honey, I Shrunk the Audience or Captain EO or whatever.
Oh,
Captain EO,
okay.
I think, was the first one.
But originally it was outdoors, huh?
Correct.
Cool. I didn't know that.
And the Space Place restaurant, I believe, is also Pizza Planet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's been there for a long time. Definitely quite the complex. And I think we've talked on the podcast before of how, you know, if they renovate Tomorrowland and they take out some of those things, how Space Mountain kind of has to be in its own little thing back there, which it is kind of hard to decouple because of the fact that it is kind of attached
connected
to all of these different things. And of course, I know one thing we also talk about too sometimes is the People Mover, and the People Mover did go through Space Mountain as well.
So, you know, really for most of its life, the attraction really didn't have much change. They did have some sponsors that came and go. Some major, you know, some minor changes. One thing was including the Goodyear speed ramp, which was basically a moving sidewalk for the entrance.
People miss that, man.
Yeah, you know, I was actually just watching a video that our friends over at Fresh Bake had put on, and it was basically kind of a in-depth look at Space Mountain. I had only watched probably the first couple minutes of it, but we were talking about the moving sidewalk, and we're just kind of like, you know, why did they get rid of that? Because I mean, what a very kind of like futuristic thing. And then we're talking about, oh, it would have been so much more convenient to go up the moving sidewalk than to like go through the what feels like miles and miles and miles of concrete ramps.
I know you'll know this because Haunted Mansion, but that ramp that's at the exit of the Haunted Mansion that you go up after you get off your Doom Buggies.
Oh, yes.
That is basically what
the
entrance.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, I don't know why, but this kind of is, it's crazy to me. But in 1995, FedEx became the official sponsor for the ride. I don't know.
And beyond.
Yeah, like, I guess I don't see the correlation of why FedEx for Space Mountain, but kind of cool. I guess I didn't realize that Space Mountain had sponsors. But some of the things that happened because of that sponsorship was in the queue area, it was actually revamped with some television monitors, looping safety spiels, which I'm sure those monitors are there still to this day, because I feel like they're quite dated. But the loading station also had an audio animatronic robot FedEx worker. And other parts were modeled to include FedEx trademarks. So, you know, that really wasn't that long ago, 1995. I wonder if anybody has any memories, or if you even have maybe photos of these, because I honestly did not know this.
I remember FedEx being the sponsor, but I didn't remember any of the specific things. I just remember being excited to go on it, so I never paid attention to that. As early as 1996, they actually created an onboard music track, which it's amazing to me because I feel like music is such a part of that attraction that I can't imagine a time without some type of audio. But basically, they fused two types of musical forms of the 60s, the sci-fi horror music and surfer music of all things, into a sensory experience. all of the music that was written for the 1996 version was based on Carnival of the Animals. The first section of the ride's music was synthesized and entirely devoted to the sci-fi aspect as the rockets left the station to begin their climb to the top of the mountain. And then it kicked into kind of a more of a surfer kind of music to go through the rest of it.
Interesting. Well, in 2005, the soundtrack was replaced by an original composition by composer Michael Giacchino that is the synchronized to the track. So like the former soundtrack, the opening is still kind of sci-fi sound, but it does switch to a beat-driven score with high speed during the high-speed sections of the attraction.
It definitely adds some like suspense and thrill to it.
It does. It's so much fun. I do wish that I could somehow go back in time and experience the sci-fi horror music slash surfer music version of the attraction. Sure. I mean, I'm sure we can find the audio, but I think it'd be completely different to experience the attraction with that music.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about how for a long time things had not been changed at the attraction.
Yeah.
In 1997, to go along with the new Tomorrowland, which
the facelift
we don't really want to talk about this, but Space Mountain was painted green, gold, copper, and bronze, and that's when the speed ramp was removed, but the ride itself was unchanged. So unfortunately, this was not a good look for Space Mountain. I was so happy when a few years later that they brought it back to being white, because I think Space Mountain needs to be a white color. Mm-hmm, there's definitely something about it. Now, in the Paris version, they do have some different coloring and stuff, but that fits with their theming there, where I feel like in both of our parks here in the U.S., white is definitely the classy, timeless color that should be left for Space Mountain.
Yes, I agree. Well, the next big thing with the ride's closure history was that it suddenly closed, actually, April 10th of 2003, just with an announcement that it was going to remain closed until Disneyland's 50th anniversary. Basically, what they needed to do at this time was the ride had become a bit unstable and therefore probably unsafe for guests. And so they actually needed to do a complete track replacement, which... That's
I remember this. They gutted the entire thing.
Yeah, that's just crazy, because they basically, tore the whole thing down and rebuilt the whole thing. But on June 25th, Disneyland did surprise guests by announcing that the reopening of Space Mountain would actually open in July instead of the projected November date. So, yay! Another big thing that happened, too, during this time is they actually did repaint the outside of the building to go back to the classic white color. So that was definitely a major refurbishment for this attraction. Not only, they basically changed everything, right? They changed the outside appearance and they completely redid the inside part too.
Now,
the
rebuilt track on the inside exactly matches the layout designed by Imagineer Bill Watkins in 1976. Yep. There is still some original track from the 1977 ride. It extends from the back end of the station to the top of the third lift and the storage and spur tracks. And you can notice this by the weld marks on the two track sections where original and new tracks were joined together.
Interesting.
So I found that was very interesting, because I didn't know any of the original track existed anywhere.
The other cool thing too that happened was the foundation was actually laid 30 feet deeper, and the floor of the mountain was actually lowered about 10 feet just to make evacuation procedures easier, just to make, again, to make it safer than it was before. The other, I wish I could have remembered experiencing this with this paint, but the rockets at this point had previously glowed in the dark, and after this refurbishment they were no longer glowing in the dark.
It was cool, because especially like when the people movers around you, when you went through, you'd see the glowing as it
I'm trying to remember back, because the first time I visited the park was prior to this, so they would have been glowing in the dark.
Sure.
I have like kind of fuzzy memories of it, but I really don't remember. But I think it'd be really cool to be speeding around and see all these other little going around you too.
Mm-hmm. Well, in 2015, of course, a Star Wars overlay entitled Hyperspace Mountain came to it. That has come and gone a few times over the years. It's been there and then gone and been there again. Among the changes that the ride vehicles are referred to as recognizance vessels, the setting being the planet Jakku from The Force Awakens, and the pre-flight safety video featuring a briefing by Admiral Ackbar.
And then, I guess, the most recent thing, which I remember reporting on when they were making this change happen, but I haven't really seen it be utilized. But in 2018, the standby queue was extended to the upper level of what was formerly the Starcade. And there's actually a futuristic space telescope that is on display that's also amongst the Starcade's original murals from 1977. The big project, of course, right now that we had been reporting on is that they are building an exterior staircase. It is not the moving walkway that they had originally, but it's just a staircase for evacuation purposes, for safety reasons. But that last we knew when we were reporting on park happenings, that was still in construction. So time will tell how long it will be for that last piece of the puzzle to be completed.
Mm-hmm. Now, there were a couple of variations that we haven't talked about of the attraction so far. Kind of off again for a little bit, there was Rock in Space Mountain. And I actually remember this. They had some like rock music and stuff playing in there. It also was promoted alongside Rock in California Screamin'. So both of these coasters kind of had some rock music playing with it. I don't remember thinking it was that wonderful when I went.
Sure.
And then, of course, it didn't happen this last year because of the fact that Galaxy's Edge was going to be open and they wanted more attractions and stuff open. But for the Halloween time of year, they did Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy. And I think I remember you saying that when you went on, like, it was kind of scary.
Yes. The small children that I went on Space Mountain Ghost Galaxy with were not fans because there was basically this big flaming skull projection that would kind of chase you around as you were going. So I don't know. I guess when we first got on, I didn't really... I mean, I saw that it was called Ghost Galaxy, but I guess I didn't really know what that meant. And I kind of thought, oh, it's Disney. It won't be scary. Well,
sure.
Famous last words. but basically, I guess it was supposed to be kind of like a nebula ghost. But it was kind of scary. I do remember the, it did, of course, have different music, too. I do remember that being kind of more intense music as well. I do think it was fun. You know, it's an easy, relatively quick, fun overlays. Obviously not as intense as something like It's a Small World Holiday or Haunted Mansion Holiday, you know, where they completely
take a bunch of stuff in and out. With Space Mountain.
No.
You can do some different projections like Hyperspace Mountain. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Although I will say, when we went and Hyperspace Mountain was there, it was kind of cool to have like the felt like you were getting shot at and like the lights and stuff.
I do think of all of the overlays, I do think Hyperspace is my personal favorite of the overlays. Now, if I want to say I like Hyperspace versus the original, I think I'm going to go with probably the original. But I do think Hyperspace is a fun one for them to do because, like, you're right, you get to see all the different space battles and kind of feel like you're in the middle of the battles and you get to see things, you know, spaceships blow up and lasers and flashes and it's fun. I think it adds extra excitement and kind of things to, I don't know, kind of look at, I guess, when you're in this dark ride.
So Space Mountain has been so popular. We kind of already talked about this a little bit as we've talked about various aspects of it, but there are 5 Disney parks around the world that have Space Mountain. So, of course, Space Mountain at Disneyland, Space Mountain at Disney World. Hong Kong and Tokyo Disney both have Space Mountain, which are almost identical to Disneyland's. And Disneyland Paris had Space Mountain Mission 2 is what it's called right now. And then, of course, for Shanghai Disneyland, they replaced Space Mountain with Tron. Not replaced, like it wasn't ever there, but lieu of Space Mountain.
Yep. There are, of course, some Easter eggs. One of the fun ones for the Disneyland attraction, though, is if you look around in the queue, you will find a Space Station 77 writing symbol, whatever you want to call it. And this is actually paying homage to the first year that Space Mountain took flight there. So I think that's kind of a fun one. The one I think that's interesting now, of course, this is not at Disneyland, this is at Disney World, but they do have, you know, as you're exiting their version, there's a panel at the end of the moving sidewalk that mentions closed sectors, and there's all these different acronyms, and it's actually paying homage to different places around the park that are no longer there. So I'll just name a couple of them, but the sector is FLMTWR, which is for Fantasyland, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh.
They also pay, you know, give a little shout out to Tomorrowland, Skyway to Fantasyland, Main Street USA, The Swan Boats, Fantasyland, Mickey Mouse Review, and Tomorrowland Mission to Mars, just to name a couple.
Wow.
I thought that was really fun because, again, like, Tomorrowland Mission to Mars is just TL-M2M.
Now, I will say one thing that I really enjoy that Disney does with attractions is paying homage to old attractions that came before. So that's kind of cool. We've talked about obvious things before, like in Winnie the Pooh, you've got like the bus
from Country Bear Jamboree.
We've talked about oh gosh, what else is there? There are others and I'm blanking on all of them.
Oh, like other little Easter
other
eggs?
Little things. I know in Magic Kingdom they have a Mr. Toad painting on their Winnie the Pooh because mm-hmm. their Winnie the Pooh replaced mm-hmm. Mr. Toad. Mm-hmm. At the Haunted Mansion in Magic Kingdom, they have a tombstone that is for Mr. Toad because, again, Mr. Toad was removed from the
they
Magic Kingdom.
They really miss Mr.
They
Toad.
I mean, I don't blame them. Magic Mr. Kingdom. Toad is amazing.
Mr. Toad is a fun one.
So I know that in our interviews with all of our guests that Space Mountain is definitely one of the popular attractions that everybody always tries to hit up. And isn't that amazing that it's such an old attraction mm-hmm. and people still just love it so much?
I think that's really cool. The one thing that of course, I feel like you guys already know this, so I don't know why I'm sharing again. But one of the things at the top of my Disney bucket list is to be... to have
evacuated,
not necessarily evacuated, but I would love to have something happen
where the lights turn on.
Yes, I was gonna say something that happens that keeps everyone safe but allows us to ride the attraction with the lights on, because I think
that would be so cool.
It would just be so cool. I mean, it would totally strip all of the magic, and I'm sure it would not be nearly as fun to ride it in, you know, with the lights on.
I want to ride it afterwards because I feel like you'd realize how close everything seemed. Then you'd be like, I'm going to hit things.
Either that, I already have that fear, either that, or it'll be these things aren't that, they're actually not that close. Mm-hmm. So I can, you know, put my arms up and not have to worry about.
I still get freaked out about that one bridge on Big Thunder Mountain that you kind of go down and you feel like you're going to hit with your hands. I'm sure it's plenty safe.
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty of room, but yeah, it does make you a little nervous.
Well, what do you did we miss anything about Space Mountain? I feel like we covered quite a bit about Space Mountain. Do you guys have any great memories of Space Mountain? Let us know. Send us an email, feedback@dlweekly.net. Comment on social media. Let us know, did you experience a audio-less version? Did you experience the glow-in-the-dark version?
Did you experience the sci-fi surfer version of the music? Lots of different things. One thing that we also want to, before we completely wrap up this section, just wanted to touch base with you guys. As you know, we are working very hard to continue to get out what Disney news there is, Disneyland related news there is out there to you each week. We are still going to be working on our discussion topics, but now is a great time. If you guys have anything that you've been wanting to hear us discuss, maybe it's, you know, I don't know, something specific, maybe it's I really want to hear about the Tiki Room and I want to hear about the history of the Tiki Room. You know, shoot us an email again, feedback@dlweekly.net. Otherwise, give us a shout out on social media. Of course, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Don't forget that you can also go to dlweekly.net/vote and add your list to topics that have been suggested. In fact, since the last time I've looked, we've actually had quite a few things added here.
I think the other thing we need to do too is some of the topics that are still in there for you to vote, we have already gone over. So we will go through and clean that up so that we get get that ready to go for you guys. But we probably will be doing a few more of these deeper looks and histories of some of our favorite attractions. So stay tuned for more.
Well, now it's time to return to producer Vern over in Trivia Land to get the answers to this week's trivia. Teresa and I were in some type of weird agreement over everything except for the last question. So let's see how good we did together, Teresa.
You did very well today. Okay. For the gold decorations on the exterior of Small World, you knew that it was not paint and it was 22 karat gold leaf.
Ooh, I didn't know what the carat was.
You know, over time, gold leaf is actually more cost effective than paint, as gold leaf does not need to be replaced as frequently.
Yeah.
According
to the weather's better too.
Much better, yes.
Plus it's shiny.
Yep.
It's very pretty. According to the International Museum of Carousel Art, it is common on a carousel that about one third of animals are stationary. However, on King Arthur's carousel, all of the animals move, all of them are horses, all of them are white, and all of the horses are jumpers.
Because they, you know, they want to give everybody the same experience kind of a thing, right? Because, like, isn't the white horse, like, a royal one or something? And, like, they wanted everybody to have the royal thing. Wasn't like
originally, it was only one white horse, but that one white horse was so popular that they just started painting all of them white.
Which is an easy fix.
Cut down on the people fighting over them, etc. And
there is a bench that doesn't move that's for, like, ADA compliance or something that is not a movable horse. Mm-hmm. But I figured
it's not an animal.
Sure.
Yeah. At its fastest, Space Mountain never achieves a speed of more than 30.3 miles per hour. So you're 28, close, but not quite. And then, on Star Tours, which of the following is not a possible destination on your Star Tour? Tatooine, Kashyyyk, Hoth, or Endor? You cannot go to on your Star Tour.
Can't go to Endor, huh?
Can't go to Endor. Hmm. According to the book that I gleaned that particular question out of.
Do you know why I thought you could go to Endor? Because there is an Endor poster in the walkway, but it's just not in the actual attraction, I guess.
Oh, sure.
Darn.
Well, how do you think that Tag and Teresa did? How did you listening at home do? Do you think that you could stump them? You can send in some of your own trivia to be asked on the show. The address for that is trivia@dlweekly.net.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, stay hopeful and wash your hands and spread some Disney magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.